Hello, everybody. Today is Wednesday, July 24th. I'm Bill Murphy here with the front pages. I'll be reading from the New York Times and the Hartford Courant, and we will take a look at the pictures on the front pages of each paper. The main picture on the front page of the Times, the caption says, "A crisis born in vengeance." And there's a picture of a charred vehicle Tuesday in Bangladesh. You can hardly tell that it was a vehicle. It's just completely burned. And it says the prime minister's lethal crackdown has divided the country. There are some buggies, looks like three or four of them, passing by this charred vehicle. They are looking, people in the buggies, looking at the remains of the vehicle. Over to the Hartford Courant. The headline here is rainy stroll in Connecticut, and the caption says walkers keep dry under their umbrellas as they cross the Founders Bridge in Hartford on Tuesday, and goes on to say we've gotten used to wet weather lately in Connecticut, and folks are getting in the habit of carrying umbrellas. And it says we can expect more rain Wednesday as forecasts predict unsettled conditions and possible thunderstorms through Thursday. And again, the picture is those of that of two ladies walking across the bridge with umbrellas, a lot of trees in the background. You can see some of the buildings in the background of Hartford. The only other picture is a picture, and it took place in March, of Vice President Kamala Harris, who is now going to be running for president. And she's speaking in the East Room of the White House. And she's got the lectern with the presidential seal on the lectern. We will be having some stories on Kamala Harris, I believe at least one, maybe two, as we proceed through the broadcast. We're going to go over now to the first story from the New York Times. It's from Miami. In the 8 years since Hillary Clinton failed to win the American presidency, the workforce for the first time grew to include more college-educated women than college-educated men. The number Me Too movement exposed sexual harassment and toppled powerful men. The Supreme Court overturned the federal right to abortion. Will any or all of it make a difference for Vice President Kamala Harris? Ms. Harris seems almost certain to become the Democratic Party's presidential nominee after President Biden's decision not to seek re-election. As such, she faces, fairly or not, some of the same electability questions that Mrs. Clinton confronted in a nation that, unlike many of its peers around the globe, has yet to pick a woman as its leader. A presidential contest pitting Ms. Harris against former President Donald J. Trump would represent a rematch of sorts. Mr. Trump would again have to run against a woman who held a top administration position and served in the Senate. Goes on to say he defeated Mrs. Clinton in 2016 in spite of her winning the popular vote by a wide margin. But the dynamics would be unquestionably different now. Would they be? Would Ms. Harris, she has neither the political legacy nor the baggage of Mrs. Clinton. Mr. Trump, having served a turbulent term in office, is now a known quantity. Ms. Harris is black and is of Southern Asian descent. And the country is not the same as it was 8 long years ago. Women are angrier, and that could be motivating, said Karen Crowley, 64, an independent voter and retired nurse in Concord, New Hampshire, who would not vote for Mr. Trump, did not feel like she could support Mr. Biden, and now planned to back Ms. Harris. Among the motivations Ms. Crowley cited were the demise of Roe v. Wade and comments and actions by Mr. Trump that many women see as sexist and misogynistic. A woman president might be more possible now, she said. But for female voters and activists eager to break that elusive glass ceiling, there was also fear that sexism would remain difficult for Ms. Harris to overcome. It's a patriarchy out there, Ms. Crowley said. She's smart and she's a prosecutor, but there are a lot of old white men who will want to stop her. The only thing wrong with her is that she's a woman. Discussing the gender of a politician can feel reductive and regressive, especially when it does not seem as relevant in other countries. The United Kingdom has had three female prime ministers. Mexico elected its first female president this year. Yet, when a woman runs for office in the United States, many voters still mention her gender unprompted in interviews, identifying it as a concern, often not for themselves, they say, but for the wider electorate. Julia Blake, 80, of La Jolla, California, said she had spent a lot of time arguing with her book club friends about whether a woman could be elected president. One after the next, professional women with doctorates and master's degrees, they said they thought the answer was no. Ms. Blake was indignant with them. I said, if women think a woman can't win, and they repeat that year after year, we will never get a female president, said Ms. Blake, who supported Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and also donated to Ms. Harris during the Democratic primary in 2020. I don't think they're giving women enough credit. To be sure, party affiliation, not gender, remains most important for many voters. I would not vote for her, said Naomi Villalba, 74, a Republican from Dallas, who supports Mr. Trump, but thinks Ms. Harris is a better choice for Democrats than Mr. Biden. Mr. Biden won 55% of the female vote in 2020, compared with Ms. Clinton's 54% in 2016. According to the Pew Research Center, Mr. Trump's support among women grew slightly to 44% in 2020, up from 39% in 2016. The prospect of having Ms. Harris atop the Democratic ticket energized some voters looking to elect a female president, but it also resurfaced old fears about the fact that Mr. Trump had lost to a man, Mr. Biden, and defeated a woman, Ms. Clinton. And we're going to go on to another story from the New York Times. Donald J. Trump and his political team spent nearly 2 years tailoring a campaign to defeat an old white male president who is conspicuously frail and who most Americans had told pollsters they doubted could handle another four-year term. Suddenly, Mr. Trump faces a starkly different opponent, a vice president who is a black woman who is nearly 20 years younger and who brings her own strengths and weaknesses, but who adds a new uncertainty into what had been a remarkably static race. Allies of Vice President Kamala Harris have already telegraphed that she will run a campaign framed around a prosecutor versus felon theme, highlighting her experience as a prosecutor and underscoring the fact that Mr. Trump has been indicted in multiple jurisdictions and convicted of 34 felonies. The prosecutor versus felon approach may appeal to undecided voters who had been sour on both Mr. Trump and President Biden. It may also goad Mr. Trump, who reacts strongly to criticism, into resurrecting the language he has used against other black female prosecutors, such as Letitia James in New York and Fannie Willis in Georgia, both of whom he called racist and attacked in personal terms. In a preview of what's to come, Ms. Harris made the prosecutor's attack line explicit during an appearance on Monday, describing her past as the District Attorney of San Francisco and the Attorney General of California. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds, predators who abused women, fraudsters who ripped off consumers, cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type, she said. Mr. Trump has been trying to soften some of his harshest rhetoric about seeking vengeance on his rivals ahead of the general election. But over many years, he has turned off a sizable proportion of college-educated voters and suburban women with his rhetoric on gender and race, and the Harris candidacy introduces the risk of Mr. Trump lashing out at her and further alienating those voters. Mr. Trump has a long history of attacking female rivals and critics in personal terms, usually describing them as mentally unstable or worse. He called Angela Merkel, the former German chancellor, quote, that bitch, in front of officials in his own administration while he was president, according to the book I Alone Can Fix It by Washington Post journalists Carol Leenig and Philip Rucker. Mr. Trump's use of the phrase was later confirmed to the New York Times. In the case of Ms. Harris, the contempt is displayed both in public and private. Mr. Trump has told people that she speaks in rhyme, a mocking reference to her occasional word salad sentences that have gone viral on social media, have become mainstays on Fox News, and have been lampooned on liberal comedy shows. Publicly, Mr. Trump has described her as nasty, crazy, and disrespectful, mocked her laugh, mispronounced her name, and promoted a false claim that Ms. Harris is constitutionally ineligible to serve as vice president, echoing his racist birther campaign against Barack Obama. In a post on Truth Social on Monday afternoon, Mr. Trump accused the news media of trying to turn dumb as a rock Kamala Harris from a totally failed and insignificant vice president into a future great president. No, it just doesn't work that way. Ms. Harris is now garnering extensive media attention and drowning out Mr. Trump. People close to him have acknowledged that such a circumstance usually prompts him to try to insert himself into the news cycle somehow, often in self-destructive ways. I think there's a real chance that he overplays his hand on the attacks on her, said Lauren Leader, the founder of All In Together and an advocate for advancing women in business and politics. I don't think it's strategic for him. I think it's automatic. Mr. Trump's attacks on Hillary Clinton did not cost him a victory in the 2016 presidential race, and even given his widely criticized behavior during his final year in office on the coronavirus pandemic and protests stemming from the police killings of unarmed black men, he lost narrowly by roughly 40,000 votes in three battleground states that settled the race. A number of fundamentals of this year's contest still benefit Mr. Trump, according to Republican strategists, who see enthusiasm in the party space and antipathy toward Mr. Biden's record as helping their nominee. Mr. Trump's presidency has been viewed more favorably in hindsight than it was at the time, polling has shown, and his advisors question how Ms. Harris will perform on the national stage in a sustained campaign of her own after her 2020 effort failed to make it all the way to the Iowa caucuses. Caroline Leavitt, a spokeswoman for Mr. Trump, called Ms. Harris, quote, just as incompetent as Joe Biden and even more liberal. Not only does Kamala need to defend her support of Joe Biden's failed agenda over the past 4 years, she also needs to answer for her own terrible week-on-crime record in California.